Good evening. Good evening, David Rabinowitz. To have, thank you so much for hosting. It's recording. So here we are. The Mechiras Yosef, the sale of Yosef by his own brothers. Surely, how could that be? What was going on? What's the real story? How can this be? So, by request, really, to deal with this, and it really does need explaining. I'll start off with, and I'm using the Sefer Nosson Das, Rabbi Ordman's Sefer. That's Jack Ordman's father, was the Rosh Shiva in Eitz Chaim many, many years ago. One of the really great people in Europe who lived with us in London, but his recognition, the recognition that people showed him, was actually very small relative to his greatness. And here's a sefer that the family put together of some of his writings. So he writes the following, and he says that the Duvna Magid, who everyone's heard of, the Duvna Magid used to say, when it comes to Breishis, Noach, Lech Lecha, Vayera, Chayesara, Toldos, Vayetze, Vayishlach, he says, it's quite easy, really, because in Breishis, you've got Cain and Hevel, two brothers. Cain and Hevel, well, Hevel was a tzaddik. He gave of the best of everything that he had. And Cain was jealous and he gave the worst. And he was jealous of what Hevel had done. And the rest, we know what happened. So Hevel was the tzaddik and Cain, to a certain extent, was the rasha. Then you go on further and you've got Avraham Avinu against Nimrod. And Avraham Avinu was the tzaddik and Nimrod was the rasha. So it's quite easy. You elevate, you expand upon Avraham Avinu's righteousness, and we can also delve into Nimrod's wickedness. And we learn to be as righteous as we can be, like Avraham Avinu, and keep away from wickedness in any shape or form. We shouldn't even have a murmur of Nimrod in us. And then we go on from there, and you've got Yitzchak and you've got Yishmael. Same thing, Yitzchak the Tzaddik, Yishmael, although he did tshuva, but his behavior was sorely wanting. And then again, you have, of course, Yaakov and Esav. And again, Esav's potential, but in practice, Yaakov was the tzaddik, and Esav sadly behaved like a rasha. But when you come to the next generation down, says the Duvna Magid, this week's Sedra, Parshas Vayeshev, even the Duvna Magid was absolutely in awe about speaking about the 12 sons of Yaakov. The 12 sons of Yaakov, they were all tzaddikim. You haven't got tzaddik and a rasha, or tzaddikim and rishoyim. They're all tzaddikim. The pasuk says last week's sedra that b'nei Yaakov, shnei mosa, they were all tzaddikim. There was no Yosef had tzaddik, but all the shotim, Ruvein, Shimon, Levi, they formed Klal Yisrael. Great. Each one of them, Yisachar, Zvulun, God, Osher, Naphtali, each and every one of them were tzaddikim. Yaakov was zeicha to have a complete set of cards. All his children, including Dina, of course, they were all tzaddikim. They were all great people. So it really magnifies the question, what happened? How can such tzaddikim, 10 of them, because Binyamin wasn't involved, how could they possibly have sold their own brother, Yosef, who was a tzaddik? How could they have done that? Wanted to kill him, thrown him into a pit, which would have been certain death under normal circumstances, were not for the miracles that happened inside the boil. And then they sold him to slavery down to Mitzrayim, which would have been certain death, again, under normal circumstances, the course of natural events. What was going on? What were they thinking? This is the question. And Rav Ordman, I've got a combination of what Rav Ordman writes, what the Hamad Dovel and the Siv writes, Pirushim in the Mikros Gedolos, and of course, not to forget, of course, the Gemara, Tosfos, and the Zohar. So we've got plenty to be getting on with. So the first question, and I'll sort of let Rav Ordman sort of lead this. The first question Rav Ordman asks is, the question really starts off with Yaakov Avinu. How could Yaakov single out one of his children? And if you don't mind, Yosef was number 11. Number 11 as being his favourite, his pet. What sort of, surely, aleph base of parenting is never to do that. And in fact, more than that, the Gemara says the following. The Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Yud Amud Beis, Omar Rava bar Machsia, Omar Rav Choma bar Guria, Omar Rav. The Gemara says in the name of Rav, Le'olam al yeshani odom b'noi ben abonim. You shouldn't make any difference. You shouldn't have any favorites. You shouldn't give more to one child over the rest of the children. Why? Shebishvil mishkal shnei sloim, because of a garment that weighed two sloim, says the Gemara. Shenosan Yaakov le Yosef, that Yaakov gave to Yosef. Yosef mishabon, we gave him this ksonis pasim, this coat of, not sure how we're going to translate this really. I'm going to reserve my position on this. I know that some translate it as many colors, but that's not at all the fundamental and central translation. So niskanu bo echov, his brothers were jealous, niskalgel adova, and the matter spiraled out, shall we say, out of control from that. The yordu avosenu lemitzrayim, our forefathers landed up in slavery in Mitzrayim as a result, no less. It's very difficult, this. When Avod Master says, you're talking about grown up, great tzaddikim of the 10 Shavuotim. Really? Are they really going to be jealous of a colored coat? They probably could have bought 10 of them each and worn a different one every day. And really? It just doesn't sound right. Question number one. Question number two, Tosfos asks, like this. The gzeirah of us going down to Mitzrayim had already been decreed. It says in the pasuk, in, I think it's the end of Lech Lecha, va'avodum v'inuy eson, at the Bris Ben Apsorim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu forewarned Avraham Avinu that gei yezarachem, your descendants will be foreigners, be'eretz le'ilohem, in a land that doesn't belong to them, and va'avodum, and the country, the nation, in whose land they would sojourn, will enslave them. The Inuoi Soma, they will inflict them. So that was already predestined. It was decreed. Surely that had nothing to do with Yaakov Avinu. How can the Gemara accuse Yaakov Avinu as being the cause and at fault that indeed sent us all to 210 years in Mitzrayim? So Tosfos asks. Tosfos answers, quite right, says Tosfos. That is absolutely true. We were going to destined to go down to Mitzrayim because that was preordained to Avraham Avinu, it was told already, but maybe it wouldn't have been so bad. We wouldn't have been inflicted so badly. El al yudei zeh, but as a result of this, should we call it, quarrel, that and Yosef ended up being sold to Mitzrayim, Shahari Arba Meoshama Ischilu Kodim Shnoli Yitzchok, etc. Therefore, he says, yes, absolutely right. The Gemara doesn't mean that we would never have gone to Mitzrayim without it. That was predestined. But the slavery, maybe the answer is the slavery was worse as a result. But it may be, but the question remains a question. Two questions. How can it be? Surely they weren't jealous over a silly little coat. And the second thing is we were going down to Mitzrayim anyway. So, apart from that, the question is, why did Yaakov Avinu do this? Surely, why should Yaakov Avinu prefer Yosef and show him favoritism? What was going on? So the Pasuk says clearly that the reason why he loved him, the Pasuk is really explicit. And the Pasuk says the following, V'Yisrael Ohav, that's Perek Lamed Zayin Pasuk Gimel, V'Yisrael Ohav is Yosef, and Yisrael, who is Yisrael, by the way? Yaakov. Just the last, the pasuk beforehand, Eile toldos Yaakov, these are the generations of Yaakov, and then he goes on. So why is the pasuk suddenly told you now, in pasuk Gimel, be Yisrael, he's changed his name. His name's changed to Yisrael. Why? Be Yisrael ohav es Yosef, and Yisrael loved Yosef mikol bonov more than all his other sons, kiven zekunim huloi, because he was his child, son, born in old age. Well, Binyamin was younger. Yosef wasn't really a ben zekunim. He wasn't the youngest, surely, was he? Surely he wasn't. So what does it mean? As a result of this, he made him a cloak of, however we're going to translate this. So a simple question, what's going on? He's not really his youngest, why? Another question, if you don't mind, and that is, beginning this week's Sedra, Ela Toldos Yaakov. These are the generations of Yaakov. Yosef ben Shvayis Rishona. Yosef was 17 years old, and he was shepherding his went together with his brothers, and etc., etc. Excuse me, Yosef was number 11. Why, when you're saying these are the generations of Yaakov, why do you go straight on to number 11? Start off, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda. Yeah, get to Yosef when you get there. But no, the other brothers are missed out. Very strange. So, what I've seen, trying to put it all together as cohesively as I can, that the Hamad Dover says the following. Why does he say V'Yisrael Ohav? He doesn't say the word Yaakov on purpose. So you shouldn't think for a moment that Yaakov's preference, special love for Yosef, was some silly, petty favoritism, something because of some physical connection, some type of this child who was born at the end of my sort of, you know, fatherhood, et cetera, and therefore just got this special bond. Not at all. What was it? There was a ruchnius, a spiritual value for Yosef that was greater. Yaakov Avinu saw Yosef's role in Klal Yisrael, in Klal Yisrael's future, being absolutely pivotal upon Yosef. Yosef had something to bring to the table, to bring to Klal Yisrael that the other brothers didn't have. And not just that, but it was absolutely crucial and pivotal for the continuation of Klal Yisrael. And that will answer why Ela Toldos Yaakov, these are the generations, these are the continuation, the descendants of Yaakov, Yosef. Yes, there was Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, etc. But Yosef was the central linchpin of Klal Yisrael. That's what Yaakov Avinu saw in Yosef. And that's why he gave him a Ksonis Pasim. What does Ben Zakunim say? I'm going to quote the Baal HaTurim. Ben Zakunim is, he says, Zakunim, it's Zakenim. He was the son who had the Chochmah, Zeh Shekono Chochmah, who had the ultimate Chochmah and the ability to retain and to use his Torah learning and knowledge to put it to excellent use. Shemosaloi, Yaakov Avinu gave over to him Kol Mashakibel Mizakenim from the senior people of the generation before. Who was that? Shem Ve'eva, where Yaakov Avinu, as we know, learned for 14 years after he fled Esau before he came to Lavan. That's where he was. He taught him all the Torah that he'd learned. Ben Zakunim Huloi, so it goes on, the Baal HaTurim says, he handed him, the word Zakunim is the gematria of Roz, of a secret. Shemasale Roze Torah, he gave over to him the secrets of Torah. And he said to him, etc., etc. Yaakov Avinu saw in Yosef the future of Klal Yisrael. And that's why he gave him Ksonis Pasim. Ksonis Pasim, again, the Baal HaTurim says that Pasim is the following. He says that the reason why he called it Pasim, what was it? Because through Yosef, the Shibudim Mitzrayim was going to be shortened. Because of Yosef's steadfastness, because of Yosef's absolutely solid basis, he was someone who could go into Golus. He could grow up from the age of 17 in the most difficult circumstances. He could marry an Egyptian woman and he could bring up two children, Ephraim and Manasseh, who were Keruvim v'Shimon, as great as the Shvatim themselves. He was undeterrable. He was unbudgeable. He couldn't be stopped, Yosef, from following in the way of Hashem. That's why he's called Yosef HaTzadik. He was the linchpin of Klal Yisrael, the anchorage of Klal Yisrael, what's going to keep Klal Yisrael afloat through Golus. And therefore, he was absolutely pivotal to Klal Yisrael. Why? And therefore, as a result of Yosef's solid approach to Avodas Hashem, Kodesh Baruch Hu, Pasim, Gematrius, the Baraturim, 190. 190 years we're going to be knocked off. That was one remez, one hint in the special cloak. Number two special cloak was that Pasim was a hint to him. He's going to go through a rough and tough time, and he's going to be ready to hang on tight. Pei Potiphar, Samuch Secharim, Yud Yishmaelim, Mem Midyonim. He was going to be sold through a whole cartel of different ideologies, of different ownerships, and he's to take no notice, but just to remain focused on HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his mission in life. That was the Ksonis Pasim. It was a type of Malchus that was being given to him, that he should recognize his mission. And that's what was going on. That's what Yaakov was doing. It wasn't favoritism. He was preparing Yosef for his mission in keeping Klal Yisrael afloat. They were going down to Mitzrayim anyway, as Tosas points out, and the Gemara doesn't mean to deny. It was going to happen. On the contrary, Yosef's part to play was going to reduce that, was going to take us out of Mitzrayim before we hit the rock bottom, the 50th level of Tumah. That was Yosef HaTzadik's part to play. And therefore, of course, it doesn't mean that we went down to Mitzrayim only because of it. But more's to come. So this is the scene that we've set over here. And by the way, this explains why Yaakov Avinu loved Rachel more than Leah. Chas v'shalom a million times, to even think for a spin, for a nanosecond, that Yaakov Avinu, who is called, who is the Kadosh Yisrael, who is the greatest, the Bechirei of the Ovis, the greatest of all the Ovis, should look at his wives, when even Avraham Avinu didn't do that. Their physical beauty, never. Yaakov Avinu's preference for Rachel was because Rachel had that same staying power. She would produce a Yosef. Those same genes that came from Rachel to Yosef, they would be the ones to combat Esav. Not just Esav physically, but Esav and all that he stands for, to be able to keep Klal Yisrael on track. That's what it was. I explained this to the ladies because one of the ladies asked last night. I gave them somewhat of a similar shiur, but I gave them some Hilchos Chanukah as well. So one of the ladies asked a very good question. So why does it say over there that Einei Leah Rakus, her eyes were dim and red and crying, because she'd been crying because she thought she'd have to marry Esau. Whereas Rachel, she was Yefas Tov, Yefas Mare. She was beautiful, beautifully turned out. Looks like Leah was this drab, weepy lady. Whereas Rachel was this absolute beauty. So I said, that's an excellent question. I think the answer is the following. Why was Leah crying? Because she knew she was, as the older of the two twins, was destined to marry Esav, who was the older of the two twins. She knew that, Baruch HaKadosh, that's what was supposed to have happened. Which is why HaKadosh Baruch arranged that Leah should slip in below the radar and become Yaakov's wife and be saved. But a lady who weeps out of worry that she's going to have to marry Esav is a lady who doesn't have what it takes to stand up to Esav and to negate him. And therefore, she wasn't Yaakov's choice. Yaakov's choice was Rachel. She was Yefas Tov, Yefas Mare. She was able to, she had the beauty of Midas, the beauty of her steadfastness. She was the one who could oppose her own father in a very gentle way. She hid the idols. She wanted to save him from idol worship, from sin. She spoke incredibly and respectfully, but did what it needs to be done behind the scenes. That was Rachel. Rachel, with her tremendous tzidkus, she could produce a Yosef. And Yosef was the lehova, the flame that was going to burn up the kash, Esav, from the origin of the fire from Beis Yaakov, as the Pasuk says. So this is Yosef. Now, so what happened with the brothers? Says the Pasuk Dalet, Vayiru Echov, his brother saw ki Oisei Ohav Avihem, that their father loved him, Mikol Echov. Absolutely true. There was an aspect that he saw, not because he was a favorite, but he saw that Yosef's part to play was central and crucial. Vayisnu Oisei, they hated him. Really? They couldn't speak to him in peace. Why? What was going on? Why should they hate him? So there's a beautiful explanation I found in this, in the Pirush here, in the Mikrois Gedolos, which is a Pirush called Sibas, the reason, Sibas O'achim B'chalonis Yosef, why do they hate him? So he explains beautifully like this. There was a trend running through, right from Bereshis, where there was Cain and Hevel. Cain, it's true that Hevel comes to a very tragic end, but Cain doesn't in the end manage to steal the limelight. It's going to be Chase and the third son, and that's it. So Cain and Hevel are sidelined, just Chase. Then you go further, and we find Avraham had two sons, Yitzchok and Yishmael. Yishmael was driven away, and only Yitzchok. Yitzchok was to be the main descendant from Avraham Avinu. Yishmael was sent away, and that was it. Then we have Yaakov and Esav. Just like Yishmael, Esav is the b'chor, is the first one. Just like Cain, who's the older one, that's the way it is. What happened is they get sidelined. So Esav got sidelined by Yaakov, who came, as we've spoken about, for two weeks now, again, below the radar, and so to speak, seeming, chup the brachas, received the b'chorah by catching Esav at a weak point, but it wasn't just really, as we know, and he takes the brachas. Their brothers saw Yosef, this Pirush explains, doing more of the same. That's what they suspected. They suspected that Yosef, of course, the pastors explicitly, that they were behaving inappropriately and speaking inappropriately about the sons who are the shvatim of the pilagshim, of the shvachis, of the maidservants, who weren't directly the sons of Rachel and Leah, and they were speaking about them very disparagingly. Vayove Yosef brought Esther Bosom Ra'or El Aviem. He brought on and brought Yaakov's attention to the fact that they were behaving in a way that was completely was wrong. They were treating them as second-class citizens. They saw Yosef as painting a picture of them in Yaakov Avinu's eyes as being second-class, third-class, those who were sinners, those who weren't rotwi, they weren't fitting to receive the brachas, to receive Yaakov Avinu's brachas, to be on an even keel with Yosef. And they saw Yosef as sidelining them, so that in the end, they would end up being cursed and not getting Yaakov Avinu's bracha. And they feared that being cursed by Yaakov Avinu would be something absolutely devastating for them. They would actually, as a result, they would be shut out of Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. They would lose their credibility. They would lose their genuine connection with Yaakov Avinu, with their father, and with Ruchnius, with spirituality. What happened? They were feared that what happened to Esav would happen to them. And therefore, indeed, this is how Aldman explains, and the other Mephoshim as well, here in the Mikras Gedolos, they feared that in the end, actually, Yosef Avinu, Yosef HaTzadik, was actually trying to make them irrelevant and completely wipe them off the map. And they felt that that was tantamount to murder. That's what he was trying to do. He was trying to completely assassinate. This was going to be a character assassination of them, such that Yaakov would not have anything to do with them again. That's what they misunderstood, misinterpreted. And especially when Yosef came along and Yosef started telling them dreams. By a chalom Yosef, chalom, he dreamt the dream, by a gid le'echov, and he told them. And they continued to hate him. Why is that so special? So one of the Mefarshim explains and says, you know why? I think it's the Hamad Dov explains and says, on the contrary, he was trying to make shalom. So he saw that they were uneasy with him. So he went and told them over his private dream. Only to a good friend you tell over a private dream. He wanted to show them, chas v'shalom. There was no hard feelings at all. On the contrary, he loved them dearly. So he told them the dreams. By Yosifu Oitznei, so they didn't accept it. They thought this was a cover-up. And by Yoyim Aleim, he said to them, Shimu no, please listen. hachalom hazeh, this dream asher cholomti. And the dream, of course, we know, was about the sheaves of corn and about the stars, the two dreams. And this, of course, made them say, ah, this confirms it. Whatever we've accused him of, that is, that he thinks he's making himself to be the only continuation of Yaakov Avinu, and we're all second and third class citizens and sidelined. He's dreaming about it all day. That's why he dreams about it at night. That's what they thought. But the truth was, no, it was what was going to happen. Yosef was going to be the ruler. Yosef's power in Golus was the strength of Rachel. That was Yosef HaTzadik. He was absolutely solid, absolute steely, steely strong. And he could manage in Golus, whereas Yehuda was going to be the king in Klal Yisrael in good times, where there was no Esav threatening, where you don't have Leah weeping, worrying about how she's going to combat Esav. That's a time when Esav is not a threat. That's the time when Yehuda is the leader in Klal Yisrael. That's his place of the Malchus. But Yosef was going to be in Golus. That's what it was. And he had to give over. It was an avuah, this dream. He would have been Chayv Misa had he not said this dream. He had to tell over the dreams. And he did. And that made things even worse. But the question really after that is, why? And this Rav Ordman asks, and in fact, the Zohar asked this question as well. And that's where Rav Ordman gets the question from, no doubt. How could Yaakov Avinu possibly send Yosef into the lion's den? Surely he knew that there was hatred and great unease between the brothers. He sends Yosef off on a mission, find out how they're doing. Find out, go and find out, go and find where they're shepherding the sheep and come back, report back, see how they're doing. How could Yaakov Avinu do this? Surely it was dangerous. And if you say the Yaakov Avinu didn't realize quite how bad the relationship was between them, but Yosef knew very well. And Yosef, even though he had instruction of Kibud Avim, surely Yosef had tzaddik. You can't do something dangerous. Pikuach Nefesh comes before even Kibud Av. So why did Yosef go? Why did this happen? And the Zohar says the following. I'm going to read it out. The Zohar says, where is it? Here it is. The Zohar says, why was it that Yaakov sent Yosef to his brothers? Surely Yaakov was clearly what he wanted to protect Yosef. And he loved him more than the rest. So surely he knew that the others hate him. Why did he send him? And what does he answer? He says quite right. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put this into Yaakov Avinu's mind, into Yaakov Avinu's head to send him in order to fulfill the master plan that Klal Yisrael should go down to Mitzrayim, in order to fulfill what HaKadosh Baruch Hu had already preordained to Avraham Avinu, that we were going to go into Shibud. We were going to go into Mitzrayim. Why do we need to go down to Mitzrayim? To prepare ourselves to learn what it means to serve Paro. There we would know, we would be in the right frame of mind to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to say Nasa v'nishma. We needed that chinuch. We needed to be put in the army, so to speak, before we were ready to be regimented to do as we're told. That you get from slavery. That is what we needed to be able to accept what HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks of us and to say Nasa. We're going to do it. Only then, nishma, will we ask to understand. But first, we obey. Obedience became absolutely second nature. And that was needed. We needed to be in Mitzrayim. That was the Kor HaBazel, the fiery furnace, the purification of our midas to prepare us for Matan Torah. That had to happen. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu arranged that all this should happen. And therefore, that's why he sent Yosef down, which would otherwise be inexplicable. That's why Yosef agreed to go, which would be inexplicable. Although There's no question about it. Something went wrong there with the Shvatim. They, as mentioned before, they felt that he was trying to kill them, and therefore they felt it was their obligation and duty, as is the case. Wherever a person, Chas v'Shalom, would see somebody running towards them with a sword, with a gun, to kill them, the din is, Habor lahorgecho, somebody who comes to kill you, Hashkem lahorgoi, you've got to kill them first. So they felt that he was tantamount to a murderer, to cut them off from, or sever their ties with Yaakov Avinu, sever their ties with spirituality, absolutely make rack and ruins of them, and therefore they felt that he was absolutely chayev misa, and therefore they sold him down to Mitzrayim. Now, says Rav Ordman, there's no question about it. The Pasuk says, Vayikamu bo echov, they were jealous of him. And Rav Ordman says like this, and this is something that I've heard from a Volba many years ago, who says that the correct way to understand what's going on in Chumash, the only way is with the Mefarshim. But the correct way to understand, when the Torah says that there was some flaw in their midas, they were jealous. It doesn't mean a coarse, ugly, overt jealousy in the way we could conjure up for children in kindergarten, or even far more sadly and tragically, grown-ups, you see, sometimes behaving in a very, very ugly way, jealousy. Not at all, not at all. The Torah says there was jealousy, there was jealousy. But we need to understand that, as we mentioned before, the Shvatim were all great tzaddikim. Great tzaddikim are going to polish their character traits. What the Torah is telling you is there was some aspect there where they were jealous that wasn't entirely refined. Why did all this happen? Because that was the master plan, that Yosef was to go down to Mitzrayim, because we were coming there anyway. And as the Pasuk says, as Yosef himself said, in Parshas Miketzin, in Parshas Vayechi, Vayigashim Vayechi, don't worry, don't be upset, Kilamichya, to sustain you, for sustenance, Sholchani Elokim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent me down here. Yosef understood this was all Hashem's master plan. He didn't bear a grudge for a minute. We had to get down there, and we needed Yosef HaTzadik there, both for the physical and for the spiritual, to be ahead of us. That didn't excuse what the brothers did. And therefore, but it wasn't coarse. It wasn't the sense of absolute. They felt he was chayv misa. But their misjudgment was because there was an ever so slight aspect of jealousy there in the fact that their father had preferred him, not for the silly coat, but had actually preferred him to teach him the main frame of the Torah that he'd learned. The main frame that he was going to be the one who was going to be the leader, and he was going to get the most hand down of really, really important Torah and Masorah from Yosef. There was ever so slight aspect of kinna, of jealousy there. But it wasn't jealousy driven. What they did was actually driven because they felt this was a spiritual annihilation and they had to deal with it. And he was behaving improperly, incorrectly, in a very way which was incredibly presumptuous, and that was absolutely wrong. And therefore, that's why they didn't go and ask Yaakov. All the big question, why didn't they ask their father? Why didn't they come and complain and ask them, is he chayv misa or not? Because they also misjudged Yaakov Avinu as this being something sort of, they were in cahoots together. And this was only because there was an aspect of jealousy there which caused the damage, which is why a tikkun was needed. But in the end, 22 years later, when they said in Parshas Miketz, Aval Hashemim Anachnu, why are these sorrows happening to us coming down for food in days of famine? Because it's our fault. Because we heard our brother's cry, and we didn't have pity on him. They didn't say because we sold him, we kidnapped our own brother, and we sold him to certain death. They didn't say that. We should have had more racham on us. They still felt 22 years later, Yosef was chayv misa. What they did was correct, but they should have had some racham on us. Still racham on us on him. Racham on us, their soul was placed for it. but they still thought that what they did was right. And this is Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Issachar, Zvulun, all of them. They all felt that this was the correct conclusion that they had reached. Why? Says the Zohar and other Mefarshim, that the reason is because they were supposed to, Gam Yosef had to get down to Mitzrayim. They all had to get down to Mitzrayim to get food. The famine, it was a funnel to get Klal Yisrael down to Mitzrayim to fulfill the Bris Ben Absorim, everything, the master plan of a preparation for Matan Torah. However, the fact that they were the conduit of the suffering of Yosef, the fact that they misjudged it, and there was an element of kinah, says Rav Altman, the Torah wants us to learn how dangerous jealousy is. Not to criticize the shlotim and think of them as coarse and unrefined people, chas v'shalom, who had a violent temper with a sense of jealousy, so much so they were prepared to do to their own brother what is the absolute unthinkable. No, there was a cheshbon, there was a calculation. They felt it was chayv misa. They felt he was, that's why they did it. Why did they get that judgment wrong? Because there was an ever so slight sense, niggling of kino, of jealousy over there. And that's what brought it about. Fascinatingly, just to see, to show you how Hashem's hand governs here in the story too. And with this, we'll have to finish. A pirush here in the Mikrais Gedolos, he mentions over here like this. This is called Shlichus Yaakov is Yosef. Why did Yaakov send Yosef to find the brothers? So he said like this. He sent them to Shechem, and Yaakov accompanied Yosef all the way to answer our questions. How could Yaakov possibly send Yosef to such a dangerous encounter? Yaakov accompanied him. Much more to be said about that. And this we learn the din of accompanying your guests, accompanying people on their way to make sure they don't come to any harm. So Yaakov was extremely protective. Says that the Yosef lo matzo on b'Shechem. This was incredible. He should have found them there in Shechem. Why weren't they there in Shechem? Says this Pirush. You know what happened? HaKadosh Baruch Hu shalach elov shloisha malochim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent dispatched three malochim from Shomayim. They, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, put it in the minds, heads of the Shvatim to leave Shechem when there was no reason for them to do it, really. Absolutely nothing that could explain it. Hashem wanted it. And then Hashem dispatched three malachim to take Yosef, the first thing of a first occurrence in Torah of a satnav. Three malachim took him to the brothers, Ashesham. He took them over there, and they get there. When he got there, Nisgalgel Adova me'akodesh Baruch Hu, it evolved from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will, Shenimka Yosef leMitzrayim, that Yosef should be sold to Mitzrayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put them up to it. Like, there's another very, very difficult parsha, but no doubt you want me to explain, Yehuda and Tamar. How could Yehuda do such a thing? How could it be? What was going on? So the Mefarshim explain explicitly that the Gemara says that Yehuda had his bechira taken away, his freedom. Why? Because Mashiach ben David was going to come from the union of Yehuda and Tamar. Same here. Yosef had to go down to Mitzrayim before us. We all had to go down to Mitzrayim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu put into the Shvatim, going to this Pirush, put into their heads to do something which is seemingly absolutely unthinkable. The Pasuk says that they were jealous. Yes, so they were ever so little, they were culpable. But why did they go so far to make such a mistake? That was Mei Hashem. So he says explicitly that we were supposed to come down to Mitzrayim, and that's what it is. Hashem Nosan, Bichleim. And that's why it says in the Pasuk, Vayisnaklu Oisoi Lahamisoi. Very interesting expression. Vayisnaklu Oisoi Lahamisoi. And they planned, what a very funny word. I've run out of time. It's already 21:25, so maybe I'll finish it off next week in Mitzvah Hashem. But the Sfarnu explains an amazing, the terminology used absolutely shows that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was in on the act. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, took them over and made sure that what happened happened. And therefore, this is all clear in the words, in the expressions used, etc., etc. Let's leave the last bit because I don't want to go over time. It's been long enough already. And I'm going to show you, Nitzah Shembli Neda, all being well, to next week, how all this pans out and why it had to be. Because surely next week, we've also got the same thing. This goes on all the way in order to bring us down to Mitzrayim, because this is what had to be. Hopefully this gives us much more of an understanding as to what was. There's no question about it. There was an ever so slight kina, that ever so slight jealousy is something that showed a crack in the otherwise absolute perfection of the Shvatim. That crack was absolute something that needed a tickle. It needed a tickle, needed to be rectified, but in no way was it this coarse and absolutely horrific act of selling your own brother, cold-bloodedly planning to kill him and with no rachmanis whatsoever. It just wasn't that. It just wasn't like that. But we'll, Mitzvah Hashem, finish off the whole picture, all being well next week. Very good. Any questions? Any questions so far? Okay, well, we'll have to miss the show, the last bit, because I don't want to keep people longer. We said till 25 past, so I want to keep to that. Very good, excellent. All the best, Kultur, good night.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Kultur, Shkoyach, Rabbi. Kultur.